Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Today we are continuing in our look at the Beatitudes. And our message is based today on the fourth Beatitude. And our text is Matthew, the fifth chapter, verse 6. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible or one from the pew rack in front of you as I read Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, the fourth Beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. May God add His blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. You know, we live in a world today which is hungry and thirsty. And I'm not talking about physical hunger and thirst, because we know that there's plenty of that right in our community, in our county, in our state, and throughout this country and throughout the world. But the problem is people are spiritually hungry and thirsty, but they're hungering and thirsting after the wrong things. Jesus did not say, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for wealth, for pleasure, for happiness, for recognition, for blessings. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Well, the question I want us to look at this morning, just what is this righteousness for which we are to hunger and to thirst? The Bible speaks of three types of righteousness. First, there's the legal righteousness. Legal righteousness is sometimes called justification. I think I've mentioned this once or twice from the pulpit. You may have heard it in your Sunday school lesson or at Bible study. And the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the church at Rome that, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, in faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the American Tract Society Dictionary states that justification is being regarded and treated as if innocent or acquitted from the consequences of guilt, from the consequences of sin before God. Now, justification by faith means that a person, on account of his or her true and living faith in Jesus Christ, will be delivered from condemnation on account of sin. Their sins will be forgiven. They will be regarded and treated as if they are innocent and holy. So thus, in addition to the remission of sins and the penalty therefore, justification includes the restoration and the everlasting enjoyment of the favor of God. Through justification, we become righteous enough that we can stand in God's presence. And this was accomplished through the death of Jesus, in memory of which we had our communion today. Were it not for that, we would never be able to spend eternity or any time in God's presence, because we would not be holy enough without being cleansed of our sins through the gift of salvation. As I said, we obtain justification by faith in Jesus. No deed, no act of any kind can we do which will be grounds for our justification. In acquitting us, God does not regard our works in whole or in part. He doesn't look at, you know, how the committees we serve on at church, the offices we hold at church, the charitable work we do. None of that will get us justification. He looks to the atoning work and merits of Jesus. If we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then through Him we are justified. Remember, Jesus, who was sinless, was treated as a sinner so that we who are sinners could be treated as righteous and therefore worthy to stand in God's presence. So since justification is achieved not by works, but through faith, the result is a peace with God. And this is the very foundation to righteous living. In Romans chapter 9, verse 30 through chapter 10, verse 4, Paul makes a contrast between self-righteousness and the righteousness of God received by faith. Remember, the Jews, God's own people, pursued their own righteousness and did not submit to the righteousness of God by having faith in Jesus Christ as His Son and as their Lord and Savior. So legal righteousness is what we need in order to not hunger and thirst after righteousness. But also there's moral righteousness, and this refers to the righteousness of character and conduct which pleases God. In Matthew 5:20, Jesus said, "For I will tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." As regard moral righteousness, there are two types exhibited in the Bible. One is acceptable to God, and the other is not. The type of moral righteousness which is not acceptable to God is the Pharisaic righteousness. This is an external process. This is the process by which the Pharisees were so concerned with external conformity to rules and regulations. They believed that by complying with their man-made laws, it made them righteous. And we know what God said about the Pharisee who stood on the street and prayed for himself, who wanted to bring attention to himself to demonstrate to others how righteous and how religious he was. But in fact, such conduct made them self-righteous and were not viewed favorably in the eyes of God. Now, the type of moral righteousness that is acceptable to God is what is known as Christian righteousness. And this involves an internal process. It's a personal process to the person, him or herself. This is the inner righteousness of the heart and the mind and the motives that is based upon personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The believer in Jesus desires to live right, desires to be moral, desires to be righteousness, yet he or she knows that nothing good dwells within them. Therefore, he or she submits to the righteousness of God. As believers, we submit ourselves to God's righteousness. Such hunger and thirst for righteousness comes from within a Christian believer, because the Christian believer has certain desires. He or she desires to be free from all sin in all of its manifestations. It desires to be right and righteous before God. Desires to be free from the desire of sin. Desires to be holy. Desires to live to the fullest a new life in Christ, and desires to be like Jesus. Obviously, such conduct is acceptable to God. So we need legal righteousness through justification. We need moral Christian righteousness. And the third righteousness mentioned in the Bible, which is acceptable to Jesus and to God, is social righteousness. The believer's desire for righteousness goes beyond him or herself. Personal righteousness. It goes beyond that. We as Christians long for righteousness to be done in our community, in our state, in our nation, and throughout the world. The prophets of the Old Testament expressed concern for the unrighteous lifestyle of God's people. How often do we read in the Old Testament of God's people being chastised by Him and turning back to Him for a brief time and then going back to their self-righteous and sinful ways? The 8th century BC prophets preached against the sins of the people. They preached against such sins as idolatry and moral decline and spiritual decay and oppression of the poor and violence and drunkenness, etc. Their message was not popular, obviously. Amaziah, the priest, told Amos the prophet, "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesize anymore here at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel. Now hear the word of the Lord.'" Amos knew his calling, and he refused to be bullied or intimidated, and he preached the word of God. Micah wrote, "He," talking about God, "has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Are we concerned with righteousness in our world? Do we hunger and thirst for it in our community, in our state? This hunger and thirst for righteousness in our personal lives and in our nation and in the world is based upon the roots that we have in our relationship with Jesus. Jesus has given us the living water. If you recall, he told the woman, Samaritan woman at the well, that everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But who drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So our spiritual hunger and thirst are satisfied in Jesus Christ if we are believers. Jesus is within each believer, producing living water so that we shall never be hungry and thirsty spiritually again. We will have the righteousness that we need. Yet the believers hungry and thirsty for righteousness know that when Jesus comes, they shall no longer hunger and thirst anymore. They shall hunger while they're here for righteousness to be done in their own life and in the world. Jesus gave us the key to entering into a real life, a life of real satisfaction. He said, as John recorded, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, of streams of living water will flow from within him." So if you are here today and you have been convicted by the Holy Spirit and you've been arguing with him and debating with him about whether to give your life to Jesus, be sure that you know that if you don't accept Him as Lord and Savior, then you will have no righteousness that will gain you the kingdom of heaven. But if you have said yes, but just have not made that profession public, we invite you to come forward this morning. We'll rejoice in your decision. We'll pray with you. Tell you what we believe the next step is for you on your beginning of your walk with Jesus. If you are a believer and have become somewhat jaded to the world and kind of take an attitude of, I'm going to look out for me and I'm not going to worry about the next person, then you need to remember that only by belief in Jesus do we receive the living water so that we can have the righteousness which will gain us heaven. Righteousness that we can spread not only throughout our church but throughout this community and throughout the world. But we invite you to come this morning as we sing our invitation hymn, hymn number 448, Just a Closer Walk with Thee.